Break thou the bread of life, dear Lord, to me, as thou didst break the loaves beside the sea. Beyond the sacred page, I seek thee, Lord. My spirit pants for thee, O living Word. Bless thou the truth, dear Lord, to me, to me. As thou didst bless the bread by Galilee, then shall all bondage cease, all fetters fall, and I shall find my peace, my all in all. Thou art the bread of life, O Lord, to me. Thy holy word, the truth that saveth me. Give me to eat and live with thee above. Teach me to love thy truth, for thou art love. O send thy spirit, Lord, now unto me, that he may touch my eyes and make me see. Show me the truth concealed within thy word, and in thy book revealed I see the Lord. Thank you, and be seated. Hymn number 314. 314. I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith, and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Oh, the pure delight of a single hour that before thy throne I spend. when I kneel in prayer, and with thee, my God, I commune as friend with friend. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. There are depths of love that I cannot know till I cross the narrow sea. There are heights of joy that I may not reach till I rest in peace with thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side.
Good evening. If you have your Bibles, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1. We'll read the first 14 verses. Ephesians 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Let's pray. Our most gracious and forgiving, loving Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy holy word and from whom it speaks. We thank thee for the message this morning, and we ask thee once again to be with us as we come into this worship. We ask thee to be with Brother Cody as he brings the message. We ask for the healing of the sick of the congregation, and we ask for the mercy of those traveling. We ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Hymn number 228. My faith has found a resting place, not in device nor creed. I trust the ever-living One, His wounds for me shall plead. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that He died for me. Enough for me that Jesus saves, this ends my fear and doubt. A sinful soul, I come to Him, He'll never cast me out. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that He died for me. My heart is leaning on the Word, the written Word of God. Salvation by my Savior's name, salvation through His blood. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that He died for me. My great Physician heals the sick, the lost He came to save. For me His precious blood He shed, for me His life He gave. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that He died for me. We're so pleased to have Brother Cody with us again this evening. And Cody, we want to thank you and Rachel for coming and with all you've got going on. And we appreciate your labor in the gospel, your labor in the Word, and looking forward to hearing the message God's put on your heart. So come ahead.
Good evening. It's good to be with you again. I invite your attention tonight to Exodus chapter 3 once more. Exodus chapter 3. I'd like to pick up where we left off this morning. Exodus 3, we'll start in verse 7. God had just revealed Himself to Moses in this burning bush through a flame of fire, and He spoke to him and told him who He was, the God of his fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Moses was afraid. He hid his face. He was afraid to look upon God. Verse 7, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now, by way of introduction, I want to tell you how I came about this message, okay? I was already looking at Exodus chapter 3, and I told you this morning, what first caught my eye was verse 14, I am that I am, all right? I was working on this with my Sunday school class back in Kingsport the last 2 weeks. Well, I knew that this past week I'd be going up to Kentucky to take my mom to an oncology appointment, all right? We already knew that she had cancer. We already knew it had likely spread there from somewhere else. I say that to say we knew it was serious, okay? I was working on the morning message. I just had a little bit of that done, and I knew what verse 7 and 8 here said, and I thought, I'm going up here just, I'm not going to get my hopes up, earthly speaking, okay? Well, we're at the appointment, and then quickly we find out her case is grave, okay? We knew it was serious, but we didn't know she had a large brain tumor. Since then, she's had brain surgery, emergency brain surgery. Since then, we know it's consistent with the masses in her lungs, all right? I find it interesting that the doctors, they just told me Friday, they're puzzled by it. They don't have all the answers. And we're awaiting information. They said depending on what they find, it could be this, it could be that, regarding a life expectancy and all that, okay? But we know how this ends. If you have cancer, let's not kid ourselves. We know how this ends. I'll tell you what, even if you don't have cancer, we know how this ends. It's appointed unto men once to die. We know this. We know this. Now, she and I have done some talking, and we want everyone to know. Maybe someone's listening who's never heard me preach before or never heard the gospel preach before. We want everyone to know cancer is not her problem. She has a far greater problem. Sin. That is her problem. That is my problem. And that's your problem. Why do we get sick? Why do we get cancer? Why do we die? I'm telling you, that little word carries with it a huge problem. Sin. Sin. The wages of sin is death. If you're interested, look up these verses. Deuteronomy 24:16, Ezekiel 18:4, Romans 5:12. There's many more, okay? If you want more, you just come ask me. I'll be happy to give you more. But I think it's important that we understand this is not some accident. This is not some awful tragedy. This is where we're all headed. We're headed 6 feet under. Her time may be sooner than mine. My time may be sooner than hers. Here's what we need, okay? This is the title of my message. We need deliverance from sin. And that's all we need. That's all we need. We need to be delivered from our sin. I would love it if my mom is delivered from cancer. Oh, that would make me so happy. But she doesn't need to be delivered from cancer. She needs to be delivered from her sin. I told her when I was sitting there with her, either Wednesday or Thursday, I said, Mom, you're in a cancer center. There are bound to be people here, either today or this week, who found out I'm in remission. I'm cancer free. And they're so happy. But they're going to go home, and they're going to keep living their life, and then they're going to die. When it's time, they're going to die, many of whom don't know Christ. And I said, I would not trade your position with theirs for anything. And that's hard, but I mean that. And she agreed. It's a good thing to find out you're in remission, isn't it? Some of you have experienced that. What a wonderful thing. Oh, but what a wonderful thing it is to have remission of sins through the blood of Christ. The two don't compare. They don't compare. I prepared this message with my mom on my heart, but I believe it's for us. I really do. I believe this is the message for the hour. I'm convinced. Look here, verse 7 again. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt. Here's the first thing. God has a people. Aren't you glad? Oh, I'm so glad. I'm so glad. Now, his people aren't the Egyptians. His people are the children of Israel, which are currently here in Egypt. Okay? This message is for God's people. God is about to send Moses with a message for a particular people. Okay? The gospel is for God's people. It's good news. Do you need good news? I do. I sure do. My mom does. Maybe someone here does. Maybe, like I said, maybe someone's listening who's never heard the good news. Well, here it is, okay? I thought of this quote from Brother Scott Richardson. I never got to know him. I can't wait to get to know him. I've heard so many great quotes from that man. He said, I haven't heard any bad news since I heard the good news. Is that how it went? You know, some people are commenting on her Facebook post. Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And I get it. I get it. And in that sense, I'm sorry too. But she's heard the good news. She believes the good news. She'll comment, I'm at peace. It is well with my soul. And I can't tell you how that makes me rejoice. No matter what bad news we hear in this life, if we've heard the good news, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. How are we going to get through this? Hear the good news. Oh, hear the good news. A terminal cancer diagnosis is hard to swallow. I hope we don't have to experience that for ourselves. I really do. I hope we don't have to experience that for any more of our loved ones. But know this, child of God, it wouldn't be the end. Us. If we're in Christ, if our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ, that's not the end. Honestly, it's just a stepping stone to the beginning. That's what God tells us. He said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt. Is anybody here going through affliction? Anybody enduring some trials, trouble, heartache, loss, grief, pain? Anyone? Anybody? When I look out here, I see people who have gone through cancer. I see people who currently have incurable illnesses. I see people who have lost children. I see people who have lost spouses. I see people with lost children, lost spouses. We suffer affliction, don't we? We suffer affliction. Psalm 34, verse 19 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, God's people, but the Lord delivereth them, hear this, out of them all. Don't you like that? Oh, I'm so thankful for that. This life is hard. Gabe says all the time, life for a believer is not easy street. And it's not. For me, it's been pretty easy. But I'm realizing it's not. It's not. I'm telling you, life isn't easy, but life for a believer especially isn't easy. God sends us trials for a reason. He sends them for a reason every time. Turn to Isaiah 48 with me. Isaiah chapter 48. Isaiah 48, look at verse 9. For my name's sake will I defer mine anger, And for my praise will I refrain for thee, that I cut thee not off. Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. Not for silver. I have chosen thee, look at this, in the furnace of affliction. These afflictions are serving a purpose. Always. God sends them to us for our good. You know Romans 8:28, don't you? We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And we know our God is a God of purpose. Everything he does is on purpose. The sorrow, the heartache that we suffer in this life, if we're his, it's to draw us closer to him. Oh, I love this. The trial of our faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. This is a promise, okay? Will be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Well, that's all right, isn't it? You know, that doesn't make me desire trials, but it does give me confidence that the Lord will encourage me through them and that he will bring me through them and deliver me from them. Though our affliction often feels so heavy, God calls it light. You know that over in 2 Corinthians 4? Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, it's light. It's temporary. He tells us it worketh something for us. It's not against us. If God be for us, who can be against us? All things are for our sakes. That's what he tells us. They're for our sake, for Christ's sake, because of Christ. He says this light affliction worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Are you interested in glory? Think about that next time you're suffering through a trial. What awaits us? If we're in Christ, if our hope is in him alone, glory. Glory. Whatever you're going through, know this. Back in our text. God knows it. God sees it. He said, I have surely seen. Verse 7. Exodus 3:7. I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. Let me say this. God sees what we're going through. He sees it. He sees it much more clearly than us. We see the pain. We see the sadness, the suffering. That's what we see. That's really all we see. God sees his purpose in it. God sees his goodness in it. I think that was another Scott quote. If I had the power of God, I'd change everything. But if I had the wisdom of God, I'd change nothing. God can bring us to truly believe that. Yeah, we think, yeah. Kenny Chesney's always been my favorite musician, favorite singer. And I just thought of a song he sang. I'd have done a lot of things different. I wouldn't have it any other way, would you? Whatever happens with my mom, I wouldn't have it any other way. Because God is working these things, and he's working them together. He's working them for his people. He sees our affliction, and he hears our cries. We just had a new baby. Y'all know that. He cries. And you hear his cries. You always hear his cries. Sometimes she'll say, I hear something. I'm like, I don't hear anything. She hears his cries. Just like she hears baby Jack's cries. Our God, infinitely more so, hears our cries every time. Every time. The love of a mother to her baby is precious. How much more so the love of God to his children. His love, which is perfect. You know, we get angry, and I've always thought this, discipline is so important, but it's important that we discipline in love. How often have we disciplined in anger? God disciplines his children in love. Always. Oh, to discipline like that. What a God. What a God who knows our affliction, who hears our cries. I have shed some tears this week. I'm not much of a crier. Okay? And I want the world to know this. If the Lord takes my mom out of this world sooner rather than later, that's okay. And let me say this. If he is pleased to do that, though I've been crying, Lord, please heal her. Please be with her. Please touch her. You're our great physician. Please take care of her. If he takes her soon, if it's months rather than years, if it's weeks rather than months, that does not mean that my cries unto him and her cries unto him have been in vain. I want everybody to know that. It's like when somebody asked Henry Mahan, where was God when your son died? And he said, same place he was when his son died. On his throne. Circumstances don't change that. Our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. He doeth according to his will. In the armies of heaven, among the inhabitants of the earth, none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? Nay, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Who are we to question our God? I've only ever heard this song sung here. The Not So Boring Sisters. My Jesus hath done all things well. And that's so. That's so. Some people find praying to be silly, to be a waste of time. I know my brother does. He was there with us a little bit, and my mom would say some things encouraging. If she mentioned God, he just goes, I know he finds it silly. We don't find it silly at all, do we? When you tell me I'm praying for you, I'm praying for your mom, that makes me want to cry. God's people know we have nowhere else to go. To whom shall we go? We believe, we're sure thou art the Christ. Thou hast the words of eternal life. We're interested in eternal life, not this life. This life, whether we enjoy it or whether we loathe it, it's going to end. We need eternal life. We need eternal life. We need Christ. One of my favorite verses of Scripture, I think it's Colossians 3, verse 4. It's in Colossians 3, I know that. It says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory, if ye then be risen with Christ. Pray he cause us to trust in him and him alone. Turn to Psalm 25 with me. Psalm 25. Psalm 25, look at verse 1. I would read the whole psalm. I'm going to read a few verses for time's sake. Psalm 25, verse 1, a psalm of David, says, unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. We cry to him. There's just one to whom we cry. It's unto him. Look at verse 6. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Verse 16, turn thee unto me, and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. O bring thou me out of my distresses. Look upon mine affliction and my pain. Now look how he ends it here. And forgive all my sins. David was a man who endured much affliction. David suffered many trials, many troubles. But at the end of the day, You know what David needed? He needed God to forgive him of his sins. His sin. He cried all the time to be delivered from the hand of his enemies. But he knew his greatest enemy is himself and his own sin. That's what I need to be delivered from. This sin. This sin right here. God has taught us there's nothing we can do to atone for our sins. Nothing. When we wrong someone, we try to right our wrongs. We can't right our wrongs before God. And it's against Him and against Him only that we've sinned. Him only. We're just as helpless right now before God as we've ever been. If I'm still here in 50 years, I'll be as helpless then as I've ever been. More helpless than I've ever been. We're under taskmasters, just like the children of Israel. We're in bondage to our sin. I love verses that read like this. How can ye do good which are accustomed to doing evil? How are we going to get right with God when we're evil? And God is good. It's impossible. We can't do it. We can't do it. We're under the curse of God's holy law. We'll try to keep it, and we realize quickly we can't. The purpose of the law is to show us we can't keep it. It's our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, not once we keep the law enough, then we'll be in Christ. No, the law, we hear the law, and we hear its condemnation. We hear the punishment that it demands, and we, by God's grace, cry out to Christ for mercy. Everybody's just trying to stop sinning, trying to please God, working hard to get to heaven, but to no avail. To no avail. I pray it's not us. We find ourselves, by God's grace, we find ourselves at that point of despair, that point of utter hopelessness and helplessness. And what do? We cry unto Him. We cry unto Him. Look at Psalm 120 with me. Psalm 120, verse 1. Psalm 120, verse 1. In my distress I cried unto the Lord, and He heard me. I cried, and He heard. Does that make you rejoice? Sometimes it's the shortest verses that just speak the most. It's like when Peter cried, Lord, save me. Never heard a more wonderful prayer. Our God hears us, child of God, and He's promised to never leave us and never forsake us. Never. Look back in our text, Exodus 3, verse 7. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. God sees our affliction. He hears our cries, because He knows our sorrows. Now, He doesn't just know our sorrows because He's omniscient God who knows all things. No? No, He knows our sorrows by experience. This is the glory of the gospel right here. I know nothing more glorious than this. He knows our sorrows because He acquainted Himself with them. Made Him His very own. Lamentations 1. Behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of His fierce anger. There's never been any sorrow like unto our Lord's sorrow. Never. We sang it this morning. Man of sorrows, what a name. For the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah, What a Savior. We read in Isaiah 53, he's a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He chose to be that. He's the servant of God. He's God. He's the servant. He's the King. He's the Redeemer, the Creator. And yet, that's what he came to do. Look right here, verse 8. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. He knows our sorrows because he came down to deliver us from ours. He came down and he took upon himself the form of a servant. He came in the likeness of sinful flesh, and he traded places with us. He took our sins and our sorrows, and they became his. And he died for our sins, enduring what we deserve, for our sorrows that we deserve. Let's consider for just a moment our affliction, okay? I asked you, you all nodded, okay? I believe my mom's listening. Mom, let's consider our affliction, okay? All of us. God came down to deliver us. God. Well, what is man that thou art mindful of him? God Almighty. God who spoke everything into existence. God who reigns above came down. How far down did he come? It wasn't just to this sinful, godless world. He went down to the lowest hell to deliver us. Useless, unworthy, ungodly sinners. He came down to deliver his people. I pray we'll never cease to be amazed by that. He didn't do this because we deserved it. You believe? I honestly can't even fathom believing that we deserve God to come down, to condescend, to endure such contradiction of sinners against himself for someone like me. I can't fathom thinking I deserve such a thing. I by God's grace, I know what I deserve. And it's for him to have absolutely nothing to do with me. And then we fret and we sorrow over learning that we have an illness and that our life here might end, knowing that in him we're going to live forever. Moses tells us in verse 11, he said, "Who am I?" Do we ever ask ourselves that? Do we ever ask God that? Who am I that you should have anything to do with me? Like the children of Israel, I know I complain so much. And then I walk through these doors and I sing a song like, "Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me?" And I just, sometimes that just slays me. That God should love a soul like me? Verse 8, I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. Do you desire to be delivered out of this land? I'm not just talking about America, home of the free, land of the brave. I love living in America. I do. But are a lot of us not torn up right now just thinking about an election? Wouldn't you love not to have to worry about any more elections? Wouldn't you love to not have to worry about the price of gas? Wouldn't you love not to have to worry about if you can afford groceries, buy some organic stuff every now and then, grass-fed beef? This land, and when I say this land, I mean this world, is an evil, sinful, sad place. And it's that way because of sin. I've come across several verses over the last several years that I've thought, when I'm on my deathbed, I hope somebody will read this to me. This is one of them. This, if we're God's people, this is for us, but especially for those of you who might think your time is running short. You think about this. God said, I am coming down. I came down to deliver you and to bring you up unto a good land. This good land has no more sin, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more tears, no more crying, no more death, no more former things. In this good land, all these former things, all these old things are passed away and all things are become new. And I thought about this today. They will be new for all eternity. You say, well, how's that? I don't know, but I know it. You read how this is worded in Revelation. Eternity is worded as one day. Just one day. You say, well, one day is 1,000 years. Exactly. I long for that one great, blessed, never-ending, eternal day where there's no need of the sun because the Lamb is the light thereof. Where we don't have to worry about anything. Where worry doesn't exist. Are any of you anxious? Oh, my. This good land is holy ground because it's the place where God dwells. It's where the Lord Jesus Christ is seated on His throne. It's the place where He went to prepare. It's the place where He said, I go to prepare a place for you. That's where it is. That's the good land He went to prepare for His people. And I love this too. He said concerning this place, He said, where you're going to be with Me forever. He said, that's what I would have. Where I am, they be with Me where I am. Forever. This good land is a place of perfect peace and rest. Don't you love that song, Like a River Glorious? God's perfect peace. We get little bits and pieces of peace. But the peace we enjoy in this life is only in Christ. There's no peace in this world. There's not. You know, people are looking for world peace. I'll go ahead and tell you something. There ain't no such thing. It don't exist. You can look till you die. You're not going to find it. But there is peace. Christ is our peace. And in glory, perfect peace and rest. In this good land, there's peace. My mom keeps telling people she's at peace. She's right. In Christ. We're at peace. We're at peace. Even if we get all torn up about things, we'll be at peace forever. If we're in Him, if we have Him, don't you long for this? I don't long to leave here. Again, we're building our family. God is increasing us, and I'm so excited about that. I love my wife. I love my children. I love my in-laws. I love you all, and I desire to spend more time with those I love. You understand what I'm saying? Oh, but I long to go to that good land. I do. I really do. There's going to be so many people there. I can't help but look out here, and I've been preaching here, filling in for a few years now, and even before that, I've been here many times. I've met many brethren here. I don't want to say anyone's name because I know I'll leave somebody out, but I see empty spots where I used to see precious faces. They've gone on to the good land. Wouldn't take them back for anything, would we? We miss them. They've gone unto that land where everyone there is seated around a throne, worshiping the Lamb of God who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. There's so many people there. It's a multitude no man can number. I love dealing with numbers. I'm an accountant. No man can. If God said no man can number, no man can number. And I love what he said here. He said, unto this land which flows with milk and honey. I didn't really know what to say about that, but I'm going to say this. In Christ, we'll never hunger and never thirst again. Never. Forever satisfied. Can you imagine? Honestly, can you imagine being forever satisfied? Perfectly. Eternal satisfaction. Oh, my soul. Oh, can't wait. Verse 8 again, I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. All of these people that he mentioned right there dwelled in the land of Canaan. You know what the land of Canaan is? It's the promised land. It's the place where God's people are headed. Soon we're going home. I plan to drive to what is currently my earthly home tomorrow. That's not what I'm talking about. Soon we're going home. Soon we're going to endure no more affliction. Soon we won't know what affliction is. Sorrow, what's that? Sin? Be no more crying, no more sadness. The verse that really captivated me when studying for this in Psalm 119. I pray we can say this. By God's grace, we can say this. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. I believe my mom can say that. I believe we can say that. I truly mean it. If God has revealed Christ to us, it's so. We know it. We see the goodness God has wrought by it in drawing us closer to Him. Closer to Him. I know I can't hear it tonight. I'll listen to it on my phone when I leave, but another song you all sing. I have to close with this. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me to the promised land. What a day, what a glorious day that will be. Let's have a word of prayer. Our gracious, kind Heavenly Father, We hear your word and how glorious it is, and sometimes we're just at a loss for words. I thank you for being so good to such unworthy sinners such as us. We bring one another before you. Lord, do that which you're pleased to do. Do that which seemeth good unto you to do. In all things. Lord, please give us faith to believe on you. Cause us to trust you. Cause us to know that your grace is sufficient for us. Lord, please save us. Please have mercy upon us. Please bless your word to these dear saints, I pray. For Christ's sake and in his precious holy name. Amen.
Thank the Lord for that message. Thank you, Cody. Let's all stand together and let's sing that song that Cody mentioned, Like a River Glorious. It's number 287. Stand together, we'll sing. Like a river glorious is God's perfect peace over all victorious in its bright increase. Perfect, yet it floweth fuller every day. perfect, yet it groweth deeper all the way. Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as he promised, perfect peace and rest. Hidden in the hollow of his blessed hand, never foe can follow, never traitor stand. Not a surge of worry, not a shade of care, not a blast of hurry touch the spirit there. Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as he promised, perfect peace and rest. Every joy or trial falleth from above, traced upon our dial by the Son of Love. We may trust him fully, all for us to do. They who trust him wholly find him wholly true. Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as he promised, perfect peace and rest. Well, you're all dismissed. We'll meet again Wednesday night, 6 o'clock, God willing. Good night.